The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the MGM Arena in Las Vegas for the Canelo Alvarez Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. fight. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live from Las Vegas, home of the Wallabies. So, looks like, is the weigh-in done there?
I didn't see the last of it, but I'm guessing it probably is by now.
Okay. Yeah, very crowded here. This is as crowded as I've seen it for a fight since Mayweather-Pacquiao, I have to say. This place is just nuts with Canelo fans, and I'm sure there's Chavez fans. I haven't seen them. I've seen a lot of Team Canelo shirts. Not so much... Team Chavez, but
no.
Yeah. Guess who's fully retired?
Jack Dempsey.
Well, yeah.
Okay. I got more if you want me to keep
going.
Yeah,
go ahead. If you're going to go back that far. Lou Gehrig, yeah.
Ty Cobb.
Retired, yeah. Pete Rose.
Yep.
Yeah.
Joe DiMaggio.
Mickey Mantle and his lover
Larry Bird.
Interesting. Although he was just president of the team, so it's hard to.
He's not retired from that job, just from professional.
Well, he's
sport.
Not doing it anymore, though.
Right.
No, your buddy Jay Cutler.
Oh, Smoking Jay, what's he up to now, Fred?
He says he's fully retired, but he expects some regret.
I expect some too, and I expect that there will be teams. And Fred, you and I have had different opinions on Jay Cutler through the years.
Yes.
But let me ask you this, and I assume you'll give me an honest answer. I feel like you're an honest fellow.
Most of the time.
Are there teams in the NFL right now that whoever they're going to roll out week one is not better than Jay Cutler?
Yeah, not a ton of teams, but yeah.
There's a handful.
There's a handful, sure.
There are teams out there that Jay Cutler would be an upgrade over their starting quarterback.
In theory. Doesn't mean he'll play better than them. I mean, he is okay. Kind of a head case. He doesn't always fit. But, yeah, there are teams that I would say would like to have him. I think there's teams that would like to have him as a backup.
Yeah.
If you're the Dallas Cowboys, wouldn't you feel better about Jay Cutler as your backup quarterback? I'm just throwing that name out there.
Are there 64 quarterbacks in the NFL that are somehow better than Jay Cutler?
No, there's 57 and a half.
Oh, stop.
No.
I mean, I honestly don't think.
But no, there's not. And as a backup on the right team, he'd be a pretty good guy to have.
I think so, too. And I think about these teams who, you know, and maybe this is a stretch, but if you were the Rams, wouldn't you feel better having Jay Cutler there and letting Goff develop a little more before you throw him back out there to the Wolves?
But boy, if you do that, now you've got the whole Jay Cutler versus Jared Goff conversation going on. I think he'd be a better fit for a team like the Raiders as a backup to Derek Carr.
Okay.
Or the Cowboys.
Like someone who's a surefire starter.
Right.
There's no question that there's the man. The man is there already.
And your team is garbage if that guy gets hurt.
What about the New Orleans Saints?
That wouldn't be an awful place for him to be. Although they just signed, what's-his-face from Philadelphia. Who's a pretty good, the guy from Chase Daniel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like there are teams out there. Maybe the New York Giants. You know,
Not a bad place either.
But there are teams out there.
Yeah,
that
Davis Webb is not going to be ready to be a backup right away.
There are guys out there that would benefit from having Jay Cutler on their team. I honestly, I think there's, you know, This seems to happen, though, where teams just, we're not interested in this guy. Let's move on. And, you know, I thought that was going to happen to Jamal Charles, which it surprised me. Eventually a team picks up on him, though. But it always throws me off because I'm like, man, the downside at this point is pretty low because it's not like you're talking about a multi-year, multi-million dollar contract.
Right.
I mean, you're talking probably a veteran minimum deal. It seems like it'd be pretty, you know.
You know, I think some of the stuff in the some of the locker room stuff is probably one of the reasons why people
maybe
don't want him. So 409 says this fight is a joke. Chavez hasn't been relevant for 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Chavez has lost twice ever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if it is a joke, it's a showcase fight for Canelo, and hopefully it leads Canelo into a bigger fight. And, you know, we've talked a lot about Golovkin and that possibility. And I think the fact that Canelo's fighting a bigger man says something about what he'll be willing to do going forward.
Agreed. How much sense would it make for the Patriots to sign Cutler and trade Jimmy G to the Browns? It's a good question.
It is. I honestly don't know what the Browns' interest level is now. Because, like I said, the Browns are sort of in the catbird seat where all they got to do is lose all their games and they can get their pick of the litter with quarterbacks. Or they can just suck for a year and get Jimmy Garoppolo as a free agent next year. Or Kirk Cousins or whoever
I think both those guys have there's a good chance they're both available.
Yeah.
And you got two pretty good guys in the draft. You should be in the top five again. So, I mean, unless they've just decided that that's the guy, I don't see him doing it. Although, if you're the Patriots, Cutler's not a bad backup. Because he's not going to misbehave.
No, and that's a locker room that can manage him.
Yeah. And if you're the backup quarterback in New Orleans, you only get to play if there's a suspension.
Yeah.
Brady just doesn't get hurt. It has happened one time in his entire career. When Pollard killed his knee.
And then there was one time where he deflated footballs and had to be suspended. Allegedly.
Like I said.
I guess it's not allegedly anymore. He was found guilty by a court of Roger Goodell.
Yeah,
Roger. I think an actual real court.
No, Roger Goodell found him guilty.
But they went to a court, right?
Well, it got overturned. And then on appeal.
Right.
They upheld the NFL's suspension.
Okay.
So the court didn't really find him guilty of it.
Sounds pretty guilty to me.
He wasn't guilty. He didn't do anything. Come on, man. That was the most trumped up BS in the history of all of sports. And I'm so glad that we didn't spend show after show after show breaking down frigging PSI levels of balls. J Mark says, wouldn't it be better to see Cutler debating BS on Fox News rather than Fox Sports? Actually, Cutler would be pretty good on Fox News.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Maybe he should take Bill O'Reilly's job.
Poor Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
In a moment of silence for him that he's no longer working. I don't believe any of the stuff they said about him. He was a great human being.
Oh, yeah.
Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah. Super stand-up guy.
Or sitting down. I'm not sure what he was doing.
I was listening to, I guess Bill O'Reilly at one point wrote like a fictional story that had some eroticism in it.
It's kind of gross.
And he did an audiobook to it and read the audiobook himself.
Oh, I saw that. I think it was on, it might have been Bill Maher's show that I saw that.
Oh, it's so gross to hear it. It is the worst. And it is everything you would imagine it would be and everything you could imagine him saying to these women at Fox News.
Oh, Jesus.
So gross.
Jeez. Yeah, I remember that. I remember seeing that on a show, and they're reading it, they're playing him reading it, and it's just so awkward to hear him talking about vaginas and whatnot. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776, and our buddy just did his let's get ready to rumble there as we do the weigh-ins here. This might be the longest weigh-in I've ever seen.
It really is.
I mean, usually when these weigh-ins happen, I mean, it's like 15 minutes, right? They roll them in and out. But this has been going on since the show started. They've been bringing out the Tecate girls and everything else. Very strange. All right. Buddy Carl Dukes is next to us here. He wasn't here yesterday. Did he just come in for a day?
Yeah, came in for a day. Well, I think he's going to stay for the fight, but came in for a show.
Okay, a show.
What a life.
Amazing.
Carl's it's a man about town.
That's what happens when you're a superstar.
That's right.
Apparently, Malcolm Butler really wanted to play for the Saints. So that trade that didn't happen. Mike Girardi of CSN New England said he wanted to be traded. He knew what the money was in New Orleans. So when we talk about him, oh, he's happy. It's nice that he's joined his teammates again. He had no other choice. Well, that's true. He said he wanted New Orleans. He wanted them badly. They just couldn't work out a deal.
Okay.
So what's he supposed to do? Sit at home? No, you suck it up. You have to turn yourself back into a Patriot for at least a year, and you hope. Who knows?
Maybe. Boy, I don't like that, like saying at least for a year.
Well,
I mean, it just sounds like, and granted, I mean, you know the guy's going to play his ass off because he wants to.
That's just kind of who he is, too.
And he wants to get that money.
Right.
But that's tough because now if he struggles, it's, well, he doesn't want to be here.
Right.
And then you start to wonder about him as a character guy. That's a tough situation, man.
Yeah.
I always think it's difficult when guys think they're getting traded and then it ends up not happening. Like, they feel disrespected or
to go back. It's kind of like you've decided to leave your wife and move in with this other chick, and then at the last minute she says, you know, I think this is a bad idea. I'm going back to my husband.
Right, but it's even worse because, like, this, like, you've had sex with this new lady for a few weeks and you think it's a done deal, and then it's like, no. Going back to my husband,
and so you have to go back to your wife,
right? And then it's awkward going forward. It's very strange,
especially because she knows you've been back in the
other, right?
Yeah,
and she knows that you would rather be with that other lady.
But,
in this case, in Malcolm Butler's case, so
yeah.
Remember that kid that got traded from the Mets a couple of years ago and started crying on the field, and he found out he was traded and he was like on the field in tears.
Oh yeah.
And then the trade fell through. It's like, just kidding, man. We wanted you here all along.
Yeah,
you
know, fine. Stick around.
You're one of us, buddy.
All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. I hope everybody's having a great Friday, and I hope everybody has an awesome weekend, and I hope no one's wallet gets stolen on the weekend because
that would be bad.
That would suck. Trust me. So,
what do I have here, John?
I don't think you have anything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think we just go to break here is what you have.
That'll work.
We'll take a break. Even though we can't hear the music. But there we go. There's music. Quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. A RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from the MGM Arena in Las Vegas for the Canelo Alvarez Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. fight. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live from Las Vegas, the MGM Grand. Canelo Chavez tomorrow on
Chavez underweight. I don't know if it's intentional or unintentional or what, but he made I think 164 was the number for Chavez. So he's underweight, but he actually looks all right. He's obviously dehydrated, but he looks all right.
Yeah.
And he's definitely a bigger dude than Canelo. But Canelo didn't look bad at all on the scale. He looked very healthy, so that's...
As he usually does.
Yeah, we'll see how he holds over. If it goes into the later rounds, it probably doesn't bode well for the bigger guy, but we'll see.
Yeah, but I'm sure Chavez will eat a steak tonight, be
3 pounds heavier tomorrow, at least.
You can't eat steak. You got to eat, like, chicken and fruit, fish.
Oh, no, no. He's going to eat, like, pasta.
No, he probably shouldn't.
He probably
maybe
should.
Maybe a little bit, but not much. But
yeah, he's just going to load up on pasta. He'll be 180 by tomorrow. 713-780-3776 if you wish to text the show. We will be happy to take your text. Can't really take your phone calls. But as we said, Abel Tasman had a strong push at the last turn to go ahead and win. Good race in the slop for the Oaks.
Who won?
Abel Tasman.
No, oh, that's not the horse I picked.
No, I didn't have a strong feel about the Oaks today, but I do have a derby play that I'm about to send to RJ that will be on pregame.com.
That so you feel strongly about?
I feel good about.
You feel like we can move on this play as it's already...
I feel like you can move on this play as if your wallet has already been stolen.
Okay.
If, you know, yeah. All right, 713-780-3776. 281 says, what do you think about Ryan Anderson from the three-point line this series? Can he continue to make three-plus three-pointers a game? The Rockets need him to. If they're going to win the series, they need Anderson hitting threes. And he's been pretty solid.
In the first two games of this series, you could argue he's been their best player.
Yeah, he was awful in the Oklahoma
series. He was horrendous.
Yeah. But he's been really good in the first two games, and I think he'll continue. So, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776.
Yeah, oddly enough, I thought that he was going to be, that LaMarcus would be a matchup problem for Anderson, and as it turns out, it's maybe been a little bit of the opposite. You know, and the Spurs haven't found the right defensive set to stop Ryan Anderson.
Right.
Although, or, I mean, the other thing is they could have gone into this series thinking, you know what, if Ryan Anderson beats us, okay.
Yeah, so be
Let's not let Harden, Gordon, Ariza, these guys beat us.
Yeah.
If Ryan Anderson is the guy who does it.
If Ryan Anderson well, or Lou Williams.
You got us.
Yeah. Oh, well. But somebody says we should let whoever wins Rock the Mic accompany us to Vegas. No, we've got people who can do it. And now this particular trip, we just haven't had a ton of interviews, which I'm not sure why. But we'll have a bunch at some point today.
Yeah.
And it would be good to have somebody here to coordinate all that. Maybe that's why we haven't had a bunch of interviews.
Yeah, that's true.
We don't have a coordinator.
That is happening next time.
Who would be your favorite to come with us in June?
We talked about Nick. Who I don't know what Nick's. I mean, Nick's got a role doing another show. I don't know how that would work. John, would that put more work on you if Nick came? What's the deal?
Me or somebody else.
Okay, so is that something you would prefer not to happen?
I mean, if you guys want to have Nick out there, we can definitely do that.
Okay, the other option would be Kirsten, who did a surprisingly good job at the Super Bowl.
Why do you say surprisingly good?
I had low expectations for her.
Okay. Why did you have low expectations? Because she's a girl?
Yeah, okay. Pretty much. And I'm sexist, as you know.
Ugh.
And okay. I also, like, she seems, like, so quiet, but she's able to talk to these people that she needs to
talk
to.
She's quiet, but in theory she's quiet, but she actually is really good at going around and getting stuff done.
And I like that she seems professional. You know, she's married. She's not going to come out here and act a fool and, you know, like go out all night and party and not show up the next day.
Well, we don't know that. We suspect not.
We assume that.
Right.
Nick, who knows what Nick will do? You know, you get Nick out and let him get partying all night.
Yeah.
Lord knows what will happen.
Yeah.
That was the great thing about Mike Pearson. He's a responsible gentleman and a professional. Did you ever wonder if Mike Pearson was going to show up here?
No,
on time
no.
Or
no
not,
matter what he did, now he might be out and about.
He might have been, but you would never know it the next day.
Right.
Because he'd be the best dressed dude in here, and he would be
sharp.
Working.
Yeah, he'd look sharp. He'd be, even if he hadn't had 2 minutes of sleep, then he would always look just like he belonged here. Fresh, 100%. I miss Pearson.
Yeah, me
He's
too.
He's a good dude. And not everything else. He's just a good dude who always looked out for us.
Yep.
And that's not a small thing. But, so we'll be back for the Ward Kovalev fight, and someone will have to fill that role. problem with Nick is, you know, he's got to do that opening act before us.
Yeah.
He's a big part of the opening act.
That's what we've got to figure out.
That's the problem.
That's what we've got to weigh.
Yeah, because this is what happens when you get these producers who are part of the show and get their name on the show. You can't really just take them out of there. So he's kind of like blowing a chance to go to Vegas just so he can be part of the usual suspects with Nick.
Yeah.
If you cut off the with Nick and just let him jump in organically, he's coming to Vegas.
Yeah.
Nobody says a thing. Like Dell can't come to Vegas.
No.
Because it's John and Raheel with?
With Dell.
Right. They can't not have him for a couple days because then it would just be John and Raheel with, well, probably Nick. But
or with Tyler.
Or with Tyler, yeah. You just can't have that. So.
Do you hear a high-pitched hum?
There is a, it's not a hum. It's
a tone.
It's a tone. John, is that coming from our end or your end?
I think so. It's not coming from my end. I hear it too.
Yeah, it sounds like one of those tests that they do. This is a test of the emergency broadcasting system. And they do the beep. And it's like, there are tornadoes closing in on you right now. You're going to die. Yeah, it just ended right in the middle of it. So, all right, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, be happy to take your phone calls or your texts. A lot of people want Trey to do it. I just don't know that that'd be a good idea.
That's not a great idea. Like, Juggalo Trey dealing with people in this setting, not ideal.
See, I could see that, like, Jim Lampley coming over and Trey hugging him.
Yes, and who did that?
Yeah.
We don't want to deal with that.
Juggalo Trey rubbing his thing against Jim Lampley.
Oh, my God, Max Kellerman.
I love you, Max Kellerman.
I really liked that one time when you used to host the show. You were, like, the game show host, and then Tony Reale got that job. But I really liked that show Around the Horn more when you were the host of it. That's a pretty good tray, right? Yeah. Jong, can I get a ruling on that?
That's a pretty good tray.
Thank you. Jong, what about you? Would you want to go with us?
That'd be a good idea, actually.
And let's have someone fill in for you?
I mean, I always wanted to go, but you know, I always have to stay back here and produce. It's going to be tougher for me since I do have another job.
It's true.
Yeah, and a wife, or soon-to-be wife.
But, you know, maybe he needs to do this because he needs to have some Vegas time before he gets married.
I think that's a good idea. And he needs to get his wallet lifted.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm against that.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, but come on.
It would be nice to have a lucky little Asian with me playing blackjack.
Yeah,
to just yell monkey.
Yeah.
When I need him to.
You can rub my head before, you know.
That's right.
Before you hit.
But they did ask if Jong would want to come. They did. That was their idea, actually.
Was it?
And I said, well, I don't know about Jong because I don't like the idea of someone else back there trying to keep us on.
But Tyler does a good job.
He does.
He would do fine.
I just trust Jong when things go wrong. And usually when we're on remote, things go wrong. I trust Jong to get us out of it.
But see, he can fix it here on this end. I think Jong should come with us. That would be my pick. And then Tyler can do the show from back there. It's only 2 days, Jong. You can't get away from your responsibilities there for 2 days.
I'm sure I could.
All right. Yeah, sure you could. And you know what? Teresa won't get mad because you could just send her Sherry's berries. And guys, if you're looking for the perfect Mother's Day gift, Sherry's Berries has you covered. This is what I got from my mom and my grandmother. They loved it. And Mother's Day is coming up. Sherry's Berries is offering huge, freshly dipped strawberries starting at $19.99 plus shipping. But guess what? We can do better than that. An exclusive offer. Double the berries.
Wait, no one else has this offer?
Exclusive. That means we have this
offer. This is the offer. Okay.
Right. Nobody else does.
Okay.
Double the berries for mom. Just $10 more. Guess what? She gets free cake truffles.
Oh, cake truffles are so tasty.
Yeah. That's like an extra gift for nothing. And pick your delivery date. Sherry's Berries guarantees your gifts will arrive fresh and delicious, or your money back.
Yep, and these are not like the strawberries you would get in the grocery store. These are gourmet, incredibly delicious, incredibly sweet, juicy, and decadent berries. And the only way to get these things, starting at just $19.99, is to visit berries.com. That's berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner. Type in our code Fred and AJ. That's berries.com. Promo code Fred and AJ. This deal won't last long, and Mother's Day is right around the corner, so be sure to order now.
I know it is. It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, going to tell you about Carbach Brewing. They're new to being advertisers with us. Fred and I and the whole station, really, we're stoked about it because there's going to be some great things going on top of the fact that we're going to get beer, you know, which is always nice. We'll also be doing all-day live broadcasts out there at the brewery and restaurant throughout the year. We're going to have beer segments on Fridays with Eric from Carbach and some beer dinners. And if you haven't made it out to their restaurant, you've got to go check it out. It's open 7 days a week. They've got an incredible menu. The food out there is out of this world, and it's not bar food by any stretch. And it all pairs great with your favorite Carbach brew. And they've got the Love Street Music Fest coming up Sunday, May 21st from 1 to 9 p.m. They've got a day filled with the sweet sounds of live music from local national artists like Saint Motel, Junior, Louis Del Mar, Run River North, and more. Tickets available at CarbachBrewing.com. And, of course, there's going to be beer there, which always helps. And don't forget to pick up your favorite mainstay or seasonal next time you're out at a local bar or at your grocery store, whatever. Make Carbach the local beer that you're drinking.
It's a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the MGM Arena in Las Vegas for the Canelo Alvarez Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. fight. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz live from the MGM Grand and in Vegas, of course. So always cool to talk to our good buddy RJ Bell, who's always in Vegas, because this is where he lives, and talk a little gambling. What's going on, RJ?
I feel very uncomfortable if I'm more than 4 miles from the Bellagio at any given time.
Well, we're, I guess, technically, what, half mile from the Bellagio?
Exactly, see? So we're fine. I tell you, guys, the listeners out there, we had lunch, Fred and I, yesterday.
Thanks for the invite, guys.
Well, I know. I asked, and he said AJ doesn't want to come, so I don't know what that
was. Oh, interesting.
But here's the thing. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Fred's been talking about his diet for weeks and weeks now, right?
Yes.
Okay. So we go to – I go, do you like Peruvian chicken? And he goes, oh, yeah, yeah. I said, all right. So we went to this hole-in-the-wall, best Peruvian chicken in the city. We get a whole chicken, couple order of plantains, a lot of rice, a lot of beans. We're talking – but about half the times I look over, his head's kind of down, and he's eating like Homer Simpson. And you ever have that look where you look at someone and you're going to say something, you realize it's an uncomfortable time to disturb them? I mean, this guy was hungry. Let me just say, he was hungry.
Oh, I didn't notice you backing off the chicken, buddy.
Well, that's every day, though, right? I'm not talking about the diet.
Well, that place was amazing, man. I got to say, and I really appreciate you hooking me up with that place. I will definitely be making another appearance there at some point.
Yeah, and I didn't want to go or anything, guys. No big deal. I didn't feel left out at all.
You know, the funny thing is I actually did forget my wallet. I was going to treat. So after the meal, I'm like, oh, I forgot my wallet. And he looks up like, really? And I'm like, come on. If I was going to scam you, we wouldn't go to this $18 chicken place.
Right. It was like 27 bucks for the two of us or something.
Hey, good thing that meal wasn't this afternoon.
Yeah. We'd be screwed. Neither one of us would have had
a wallet. You guys would have been dishwashing because Fred got his wallet lifted last night.
You know, I didn't want to bring this up, but, you know, small town boy comes to the big city. This is what happens.
There you go, Fred. Yeah. Small town boy.
That's me, small town boy. Well,
it's like the great Seeger song, right? Hollywood Nights.
Yeah, that's right.
You're too far from home, Fred.
Somehow we were talking about Bob Seger last night and how he just sits on his couch these days and gets fat and occasionally goes out and does a show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you get to a certain point in life, you're just beyond question.
Well, I'm not going to get there, so I'm not too worried about that. Hey, we did a couple of podcasts yesterday that are up on pregame.com. I'm about to have my sometime in the next 20 minutes, I'm about to send you the premium derby picks that will be on pregame. So those podcasts went great, man. I appreciate you doing that because we dived into the Triple Crown and to the Derby, which is going to be tomorrow.
Yeah, I tweeted out both of them, iTunes and SoundCloud, at RJ in Vegas. But, guys, for those that, you know, listen, when you're on the radio, you don't have a chance to deep dive. I mean, you can, you know, you guys go deeper than most, but a podcast is built for deep dive. We did almost 2 hours. And let me tell you, Fred's knowledge on this horse racing stuff, I know he brags a lot, let's be honest, but it's justified. I mean, what? And some of these amazing, like, once in 44-year type stats. I mean, I love trends like that, right? Because, I mean, it's one thing to be 1 out of 10, but, you know, 1 out of 45 or 44, I mean, that's history you should know if you're going to be playing. And obviously both of these are free. And AJ and Fred, it really makes me – I've listened to some of the audiobooks, but – it makes me all the more interested to dig deeper because when you guys have a chance to take it slow and really go into it, really good stuff.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, RJ asked such great questions that are different than I get whenever I do anything like this, whenever I'm being interviewed about horse racing. And he kind of brings a perspective of someone who understands sports betting, who understands odds, who understands percentages. And so he asked great questions. And if you get a chance, check those out because I had a lot of fun doing them. And hopefully there's really good information there because
For those who do, great. But let's give a tip or two for those that don't. And these are Fred's now. But, I mean, I love them, so I'm going to act like they're mine. I'm going to change your voice. Okay, here's something I uncovered. If you go back to 1964, now think about this. A year after the Kennedy assassination now, there's only been one Derby winner from the number one post. All right, so imagine this now. You got the one, and you're thinking of betting him on top of your ticket. You're bucking a once since 1964 type trend. So doesn't mean it can't happen. It just means it's not going to be a good bet. And what really fascinates me was we had a discussion about how the Derby is built for contrarian bettors. And everyone that listens to our segment knows I love being contrarian, right? The public goes one way. I look at them with the fanny packs and the pot bellies and their wallets getting stolen. And I'm like, I want no part of that. I want to go the other way. And the Derby is perfect for that because there's so much recreational public money. And what do we know the public loves to do? They love to bet favorites. And that's why betting against favorites and being contrarian is so profitable in the Derby because there's so much of that dead money, as they call it. And this stat is really powerful. Is last 13 years, Derby has had 7 favorites win. Now that's like, well, wait a minute, RJ, that sounds like a lot of favorites, right? In the prior 20 years, the Derby favorite, 0 for 20. So now the question is, has something fundamentally changed? And this is what I asked Fred, or is there another reason for this? And Fred told me, and you can expound on this, Fred, if you would, but it's just we've had a couple of super horses in the last few years that skewed these odds. It's not like the 0-20s, right? It's just it's a long shot for the favorite to win, right, which is a fun play on words, except if there's a super horse. And unless I'm missing something, and based on the odds, there's no super horses this year, which really sets up a good chance a contrarian bettor can have a really nice perfecta or trifecta ticket.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what was really cool when you sent your notes over? There's a lot of the stuff we talked about on the podcast on your notes. So
well, it's all,
I feel
it's
honored.
It's transcribed from the podcast. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. But so it's going to be a big betting day here tomorrow with that and the Canelo fight. And we talked to the guy from the MGM yesterday, and it seems like there's a lot of action on this fight, even though Canelo's a pretty heavy favorite. And he talked about something that you talk about all the time, which most of the public money is on Chavez, but the big money is on Canelo. And can we talk about how important that is for a book to balance that out and why Canelo will stay a big favorite even though there's big bets on him, but they have to try to balance it out to get money on Chavez so that they basically make money on the fight.
Yeah, so these are, boxing is a money line, right? So in spreads, Patriots are favored by 7. You don't have to lay more than the minus 110. It's just the spread is the great equalizer. But with money, you know, what do you do? Say, oh, Canelo is going to be, you know, 4.5 round favorite. No, you can't do that, right? So, I guess in theory you could, and I'd like to see them do it this way, which is like, you know, wouldn't it be interesting if you said, and I don't know if this number would be right, but wouldn't it be interesting if the bet was, okay, Canelo wins if he knocks him out before the 10th, and if it makes the 10th round, you win with your Chavez bet no matter what. And it's, you know, minus 110, minus 110. There's obviously a point where it'd be even that if the fight went past this point, and obviously if Chavez won earlier, you'd win too, right? So it's almost like anytime Chavez wins, you win. And anytime Canelo wins, if it's a decision or a knockout in the 10th, 11th, or 12th, the underdog still wins. Wherever that point is in the fight, that'd be a great 110-110 bet. I'm not sure why they don't do that, but they don't.
I was going to say, why don't they do that?
Yeah, you like that, don't you? That's pretty good.
With fight
it?
Sports, yeah. Because I much prefer to have something like that where you're getting an even number because, I mean, well, it's nice to have a big underdog that you can bet to, but just for me, I'm you know, if the way I handicap fights, I prefer to have a point where I know if my guy can last this long, it's even money. I love that idea.
You know, I do too, actually. Again, you're an MMA expert, but it's the same thing. I guess it'd be harder with just, you know, 3 or 5 rounds.
Not really. No, because they have props in MMA where it's like, you know, will the fight last 1.5 rounds, over under 3.5 rounds in title fights, and it moves based on who the fighters are. Like if you've got a knockout artist in a fight, it'll say, will the fight last?
Okay,
till,
and they have those in boxing. AJ, they have those in boxing too. It's just the difference is it doesn't matter who wins or loses in that case. It only matters how long the fight goes.
Right.
I'm talking about, you know, a slightly different variation where if you take the favorite, then if it gets... Now, obviously, if it's so close that you couldn't make it before a decision, as in you could say, well, if it, then you can't do it. But then the money line's not so bad anyway, right? So, but let's back up just 1 second, talk about the money line in the reality today and what people tend to do with it. So people who don't typically bet fights walk up to the window and they say, oh, that Canelo, I think he's better. I want to bet him. Okay, well, you've got to bet $550 to win $100. It's like, man, I don't like the sound of that,
no,
right?
Thanks.
I don't want to bet a lot to win a little. So what happens if I bet the other guy, right? I think his dad was pretty good. Okay, well, with the other guy, 100 wins you 450. It's like, okay, great, give me $20 to win 90 or whatever. And that's what happens. So you get all these little bets, not all of them, but a majority of them on the underdog. And then finally, come fight day, the line will get low enough that some wise guys will say, wow, there's value on the favorite, and they'll bet, you know, $44,000 to win $10,000. And for them, they're not afraid to bet a lot to win a little if the odds are in their favor. So the actionable advice for the listeners, if you're going to bet this fight and you like the favorite, wait until, you know, at least fight day. Now, you never know exactly when they're going to pull the trigger, but you don't want to bet before fight day. And if you like the dog, bet before you go to bed tonight. And odds are you're going to get the better number that way. Doesn't mean you will always, but odds are you will.
I was looking at your numbers on series prices for the Rockets and Spurs. And after game one, it was basically a coin flip between these two teams. The Spurs win game two. And they're still plus 100. Now, I guess a lot of that has to do with the Tony Parker injury, but is there any further explanation than that?
It's all that. And you just quantified it wonderfully because, to me, it was a real surprise. Odds when Houston was up 1-0 was Houston a small favor to win the series.
Right.
Odds after it's now tied 1-1 is Houston's a small favor. And what's the trade-off, right? One win for Tony Parker. I'll be honest with you guys. That's valuing Parker a lot more than I would.
Without question, because Fred and I talked after game one, the Spurs at even money seemed like a value already, even down one games to none. And I honestly think Patty Mills is a miniature Tony Parker. I don't think the drop-off from Patty Mills getting starters minutes is going to be massive. I think that's an incredible stat. Like, if Kawhi Leonard were out, okay, maybe you move, or LaMarcus Aldridge
yeah,
even.
But even more, but yes. But
I mean, you're talking about, like, the number four or number five guy on this team at this point. This isn't Tony Parker from 5 years ago when he was an MVP candidate. This is a shadow of what Tony Parker once was, and a guy who, you know, the last game, but when he got hurt, was having his first good game in about the last four. So I think they're overvaluing this.
Here's what I would say. I would make the case over the course of 10 or 20 games, Tony Parker, I'm not sure that he should move the needle at all. What I do know is Tony Parker has the ability to have a monster game still that the backup doesn't have. So in a weird way, if you had kind of a must-win, if you were a must-win situation and you were an underdog, I'd want Tony Parker on the floor. Let's say a game seven at Golden State, because maybe the odds are 1 in 5 he's going to have a monster, but if he has a monster, he gives you a chance, right? And Patty Mills just doesn't have that in him, I don't think. So that said, if you're just looking game by game, I'm not sure if Parker's not taken away as much as he's given on a lot of games. So all that said, now think about it. So on one hand, okay, extra win for the Spurs. So upgrade, right? Obviously, 1 out of 4.
Right.
You lose Parker. Let's call it some kind of downgrade. Okay. Now, though, I think Houston was a great bet. I had guys telling me when Houston was minus 120 after game one, the line should have been Houston minus 200. I know people that made monster bets on the Rockets after that first game. So, to me, now you've got three things going on, right? Which is, I think Houston was probably a little undervalued to start with. So, to me, it's kind of washing out right now, because I would like to bet this Spurs, because I think they over-adjusted. But I think the Spurs were the bad side to start with. So, now it's back to being kind of a coin flip to me.
A couple other things as we look at the NBA playoffs, and you were telling us you had one of your guys was really high on Toronto. Now that they're down two games to the Cavs, is there value in the series bet if you still believe that's a team that can beat the Cavaliers?
No, and here's why.
Okay.
I think what we've seen is the Toronto's intimidated. And we can play stuff on, you know, simulations and 10,000 times and algorithms till we're blue. But guys, there's a human factor, as they would say. I think there's sci-fi movies about this, right? You can't make human beings replicated with an algorithm. And what we're seeing is Toronto just doesn't have that little whatever you want to call it when the chips are down. And we can sit and say Michael Jordan was lucky and Charles Barkley wasn't. And anyone that counts rings is brain dead. Well, then I'm brain dead, because I really believe that some people have that something in them and some people don't. Doesn't mean they're going to win every time. Magic lost 4 finals, right? And there's no doubt Magic had it in them. It's just you either step up in, and you might say, well, if Michael had it, why didn't he beat the Pistons before the finals? Well, because that little something wasn't enough. Right. And when you look at the Patriots, right, have they even had one Super Bowl that it wasn't about one or two plays? As great as Belichick,
no, always, yeah.
Right. They could literally be, you know, undefeated in the Super Bowls. They literally could have maybe, you know, I think you can make the case 0 wins. So the Eagles game, they were going to win that game almost always. So, but it just shows you that little something often matters. And Toronto, you know, it's not only lacking that little something, it's it becoming a negative because you get nervous or intimidated or whatever. So I'd look to spot play Toronto because I think there's value. But I in no way want to have money that requires Toronto to beat Cleveland in a closeout game, because I just don't see that happening.
The one Patriots Super Bowl that they really, it wasn't that close of a game, was that one with the 85 Bears. That one ended up not so close.
It was just like a Tecmo Bowl replay or something?
Well, no, that was it. Super Bowl 20 was like a 46 to 10 or something like that.
I thought you meant Belichick going back in time and playing like a Madden or something.
No, no, no. Belichick doesn't get his ass kicked like that. Not in the Super Bowl.
All right, that's RJ Bell. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas, and go check out pregame.com, especially if you wish to get some horse racing podcasts, setting up the Derby tomorrow, which looks like a sloppy track. And I'll have picks on there as well. Looking forward to doing a lot more with RJ. Buddy, appreciate the time as always, and look forward to talking to you again next week.
Hey, AJ, I don't think Fred can hear me right now. We're doing dinner tonight around 8. I know Fred has to rush home for something.
That's right.
So if, a couple radio guys, national guys, having dinner. So text me if you want to join.
Okay. And make sure you bring your wallet.
Later.
All right, bud. We'll talk to you soon. All right. Quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. And did you know
your stairway lies on the wall? Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Window World of Houston. Not only are they providing premium quality replacement windows at a great price, but their energy-saving windows are made right here in America, and they carry the Good Housekeeping seal of approval. Window World's become the country's number one window company because they offer a lifetime warranty, a higher quality product, and a low price that starts at just $189. The first step to reducing your energy bills, call in Window World of Houston. Schedule your free written estimate. No hassles, no high pressure. It's a free estimate. You got nothing to lose. Give them a call, 713-439-1172, or go online at windowworldhouston.com. That's 713-439-1172 or windowworldhouston.com. These windows are going to pay for themselves with your savings from your electricity bill. It's Window World, simply the best for less.